Well, one of the big goals is to show some visibility, right? Because oftentimes, if an athlete doesn't know that there are resources that are available, or that their coaches are actually conscious of the fact that they may have a gay player or a lesbian player or a trans player on their team, now this athlete can say, wow, you know what, my coaching staff or my athletic department is actually taking steps to ensure that I feel safe. So I think that that's one of the larger deals, right? So one of our goals is to really make all sports accessible to anyone who's LGBTQ. I mean, that is our larger goal, and to bring some visibility to it and to create really spacious and open conversations. I think that all those three objectives are being accomplished.
In the New York Times article, they talk about the You Can Play project and how when the diversity training took place at Mizzou, that was the first time that Michael Sam kind of indicated to his coaches that he was gay. Did you talk to Michael Sam or anyone else involved in the story at all about the role that the You Can Play project or diversity training may have played in Michael Sam's coming out?
No, to be honest at all. I don't think we can take much credit for that. You know, we're grateful, you know, that that happened, you know, that we were mentioned. But, you know, I think what Michael Sam's story speaks to and how it intersected with You Can Play is honestly just the fact that we created an opportunity for him to have a conversation where athletes can feel safe enough to share, you know, any and everything. We try to be very intentional about not making anyone feel like anything that they say is going to be judged or that anything that they say is wrong, right? So if someone says, hey, I'm nervous about sharing with a gay locker room, we go, good, you know, thank you for sharing that. Now let's talk about, you know, how we can alleviate some of your fears. We never enter spaces thinking that we're going to change someone's heart and their mind, because we think that just entering into a space with that mindset means that we're already assuming that you have something wrong with you, right?
What kind of feedback have you gotten from different schools in the past regarding the You Can Play project?
Every school that we've ever gone to love it. They really love the openness of it and the spaciousness of it, that it can be tailored towards, you know, respect for someone's sexual orientation or even their religion, for their race, for their class. So it really encompasses a lot of different things.
How common is this type of diversity training on university athletics teams?
It's getting more and more. I probably in the last year and a half have spoken at over 50 to 100 schools. I've been on panels at over 30 schools. You know, I've had young people reach out to me. So I think like colleges are really seeing that that the time is now to really start to educate their students and their coaches and admin. It's really, really prevalent.
Some people contend that diversity training is ineffective. What would you say to those people?
I would say it depends on the messenger, right? And it depends on whether people enter this work from a deficit model or an asset model. And whether or not people enter these conversations telling someone what they believe is wrong, right? Whenever you walk into a diversity training seminar and I tell someone what you believe is wrong and I'm here to change you, then yes, diversity training is terrible, right? Because then people have kind of like dug in their heels even further about what their beliefs are. But I believe that anytime someone stands up like Michael Sam does and tells their truth, the world changes.
What is your ultimate goal for the You Can Play project?
Put ourselves out of business